Welcome back, everybody. And welcome. Happy Hump Day. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. My next guest is not just a lawyer and a political scholar, but a Merle Haggard fan, and that just makes him all the much more fun to speak with. He is Howard Schwaber, professor emeritus at UW-Madison. We're talking about corruption, its modern forms, and where it all might be taking us. You've got one segment left to get in your comments and questions, 855-752-4842. Howard, in the break, we were talking about the fact that Wisconsin really has been the petri dish for what some of what we're calling legalized corruption, including gerrymandering. And it seems to me we have entered, we have sort of gone through the looking glass with the second Trump administration. And there are, it's almost every day in the news, there's another headline about what I think most people, if we're speaking in good faith, would call something that looks pretty corrupt happening in real time, except it's happening in the bright light of day. It's headlines. And we've started to, at least some folks have started to accept these instances of legalized corruption, which really make government unresponsive to the needs and the demands of the vast majority of Wisconsinites and Americans. They're excusing it because, hey, it's my part, it's my team winning. And so that's okay. We can win by any means necessary. The ends justify the means. And so it seems like we're entering into this era of normalized and accepted corruption. And my question to you, sir, is what outcomes can we expect over the long term if this is now the norm?
Oh, we know exactly what this looks like from governments in Latin America and Eastern Europe. We know, I mean, this is one of the ways democracies fail. And I think it's premature to say the United States democracy is on the road to, is on the verge of failure. But, you know, if you extend the trend lines out, it certainly doesn't look good. And this is a big one, because when you know, I remember when Dick Cheney, while vice president, was asked about deficits, which at the time were a very big deal in American politics. And he said, oh, Reagan proved deficits don't matter. What he meant by that was Reagan proved that it's not harmful to the party and the candidate's political future to run up big deficits, not that they don't really matter to the world or the future of the economy. That's what corruption feels like now. That Trump has proved that corruption doesn't matter. A candidate, a president, a party is not hurt by being tarred by corruption as long as it's only by their enemies, because it's just so normal and so dismissed and so accepted. And the long-term consequences of that is that it's not just a loss of a middle. There ceases to be any basis for trust in the institutions or the system at all. Loyalty, you know, it's a phrase, but it can become a reality. Party above country. That can become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Because at a certain point, there ceases to be a meaningful sort of country to which to feel attached. If you honestly think that everybody involved is cheating, everybody involved is only out to benefit for themselves and does not care about you. To take one example, Trump gave an interview quite recently where he essentially said he believes he's the president of the people who voted for him rather than for all of the Americans. If people internalize that sense, right, then there's really nothing to attach to. And we'll stop asking whether people think institutions are legitimate. We'll start asking whether they are really institutions at all. I know I'm being kind of apocalyptic, but, you know, these are big trends that can have apocalyptic outcomes and historically have done so in other places. As for what we can do about it, I think, you know, there's one giant message that I wish I could drum into the heads of everyone I ever meet, which is it doesn't have to be this way. It wasn't always this way. It doesn't have, this is not a natural order of things or an inevitable order of things. It doesn't have to be this way. And if people can conceive of that as a possibility, then I think they'll be somewhat less willing to say, look, I hate the corruption. I hate the viciousness. I hate the line, but I want secure borders, or but I want welfare payments, or but I want national, whatever is the thing that you care about. And accepting all this other stuff is the only way to get the policies that I like. That's not true, but that's the menu that the American electorate is being offered. And so that's what has to change. Exactly how to do that, if I knew that, I'd be really in demand.
Yes. Do you think some of the answer lies in what I'm going to call democracy process reforms? That is, you know, things like first five primary voting and ranked choice voting and multi-member districts and independent redistricting committees and actually beefing up our transparency and disclosure laws about campaign contributions. Those sorts of things that when explained correctly to folks, are broadly appealing to people.
Absolutely. But I really come back to one just over and over, the gerrymander. I'm not sure you can overstate how much damage that has done. Without going into the history, I think many people know this, but it's worth repeating. Because the vast majority of congressional districts are safe, are party safe districts, you know in advance which party they're going to go for. The only dispute is who's going to win in the primary to be that party's candidate. That has pushed members of Congress in both parties to positions that are much more extreme than those held even by their own voters. If you look at national polling data, Americans have broad areas of agreement, and where we disagree, even when we disagree strongly, it's not nearly as sharp as the disagreements we see among our political representatives. There's a distorting mechanism in place that doesn't just incentivize, it requires ideological extremism. If we wanted to fix one structural thing, start with that.
Start with that. We need competitive districts. We need to stop the gerrymander. In fact, Law Forward has brought a lawsuit in this state challenging the anti-competitiveness of our legislative districts. I call myself a radical centrist for exactly this reason. We need to bring common sense back to politics. And my guest today, Professor Emeritus Howard Schwaber, you always bring some of that common sense to our discussion. Thank you so much, sir. And thank you to each and every one of you for listening. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together.